Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin Waite. I've got loads of tweets and we've got loads of emails. We've got another great guest to talk to, so we're going to crack on with some of the stuff. I've had a tweet from the lovely Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics, who says, oh, can I have a shout out on a Business Bunker, please? Chris, you've just been shouted out. And then I've got a tweet from Holcomb Health Clinic. Please, can we have a shout out, Vanilla Webb, on the Business Bunker? Owner Lou is back from Wimbledon. So if you need a professional physio or sports therapist, give us a call. And you can follow Holcomb Health Clinic on the Twitter at Holcomb Health. Holcomb is spelled H-O-L-C-O-M-B-E. That's Holcomb as in Gillingham by BAE Systems there. Holcomb Health on the Twitter. Give them a follow. We've had a tweet from the lovely Zoe Cairns, who's listening in. Hello, Zoe. And a fantastic tweet from Fabdia. Fabdia.
3D printing.
Yeah, he's been doing 3D printing, and he's posted some lamps and stuff that he 3D printed. Fabulous, aren't they?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so give him a follow on the Twitter. It's F-A-B-B-D-E-A. It's a bit of a strange handle, but it's Fabdia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 3D printing, loads of things happening. And also the Welling Beer Fest. Welling Beer Fest. I bet you can't guess what that is.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah. Please, can we have a shout out? It's our charity beer festival for Welling Footy Pub. Is a Twitter handle. Welling Footy Pub. F-O-O-T-Y-P-U-B. Organised by the Welling Roundtable. It's a beer festival taking place 28th to the 31st of July at the Guy Earl of Warwick. I guess that's a pub. There's 40 ales and ciders. There's a Thursday guest cider fest and real ale and live bands. So that's in Welling, in Kent.
Are you offering to drive, Paul?
No.
Oh, okay.
And FMRC, a shout-out, please, Paul, for fraud, fraudmanagementresourcecentre.com. That's their website, fraudmanagementresourcecentre.com, an online alternative to face-to-face consultancy, they say, fraud management. And Dottie Diva, the lovely ladies at Dottie Diva can they say hello? And they're now based in the High Street in Tenterton. So do check them out.
I've had a tweet, Paul.
Have you?
Yeah.
Go for it.
From Andrew and Janice and Amanda at New Appointments Group down in Sunny Sandwich. And they say, great banter, guys. Love the wise words of Barry Brophy. So they're obviously tuned into Barry talking about
fantastic
how not to go about presenting.
Absolutely.
Also got a brilliant one here from Kent Connected, the lovely Lindsay Reynolds, who was on the show.
Lindsay's been on the show
a couple of months back. So this is a KCC initiative, all really geared towards encouraging sustainable travel, whether that be on a personal or on a business level. But if you are a business and you want to try and help encourage your staff and visitors, perhaps, to travel to your offices in a more environmentally friendly way, there are some serious travel grants up for grabs. And actually, it could be as much as £5,000. Right. And that could be for anything from bike sheds to, I don't know, bike racks, anything really like that. So take a look at that. It's Kent Connected. .org is the website, and you'll find some information about that there.
Fantastic, thank you. I'm going to flash through these because we've got dozens and dozens, and I want to talk to our next guest, so we're going to get through these as quickly as we can. I've had a tweet and followed it up with an email with a bit more information, so it's interesting, and I've had it from Adam Hutchinson. Adam is the managing director of Belmont Sandbanks, which is a care home group, and Adam has tweeted and emailed to say, here's some information about the Kent Care Awards in association with KICA, and there's a website which is kica.care/Kent-care-awards. It's an opportunity for care businesses to celebrate their workforces and frontline staff. So it's not to celebrate the business. It's not about business awards for care homes. It's about celebrating the environment, the staff, and the workforce. Mm. So if you go to kica.care/Kent Care Awards, you can be nominated in the awards for this year's Kent Care Awards in association with KICA. So big thank you to Adam Hutchinson for that. And do, if you're running a care home or you work in a care home or you want to celebrate your staff, or in fact, if you're a resident of a care home and you want to make reference to the fact that you looked after by some really lovely people, do go to that website and nominate someone.
Adam was on the show recently. He?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 months ago.
So fantastic. While we're on the subject of awards, Kent Independent Traders Awards, it's that time again. So nominations are now open for the 2016 awards. I think you need to get your nomination in by, I think it's the first week of August. It doesn't say on here, but then I think the actual application needs to be in by around about the third week in August. So you've got a little bit of time, but not a huge amount of time. Very successful awards ceremony and awards night that's been running now for a while. It's the lovely Hilary Steele, isn't it, that organises
it? It is indeed. Yep.
You've been a judge, Paul, in the past, haven't you?
I've been a judge for the last couple of years, yeah.
So there's all sorts of categories. You need to have a look at the KentIndependentTraders.co.uk website for that. I must say, Supply My Business have actually been nominated this year as well.
So well done. Congratulations.
We're delighted about that. Mm. So everybody get behind that.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Kath Misson, C-A-T-H-M-I-S-O-N, Kath Misson, a lovely lady. And she says there's a Folkestone Trawler Race, would you believe? Mm. The Folkestone Trawler Race, 6th and 7th of August. It's the fish pie competition to win £100. You can find all the info about it by following at F Trawler or at Mariner_the, or you can follow me, she says, and she, me being Kath Misson, and Kath's Twitter handle is C-A-T-H-M-I-S-O-N. So if you follow Kath Misson, F Trawler or Mariner_the, you can find out all about the Folkestone Trawler Race. I'm getting all excited because there's a lovely picture of a trawler racing, and I'm getting all excited by it. It looks really fantastic. That's the Folkestone Trawler Race on the 6th and 7th of August. We've had a tweet from Fruitworks CEO on the Twitter that says, afternoon from the web, looking forward to the Business Monkey Show today. Can we have a shout out for our newly expanded space? Yes, is the answer to that. We've just done it.
I can't remember the date today. What's the actual date? Not the day.
Of what?
The date of July.
Today?
Yes.
26th.
26th. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow, there's still time to book on to an introduction to direct marketing, social media and data protection. So this is a free workshop that Zoe Cairns is actually running with a chap I know quite well, Daryl Lynham.
Oh, I know Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah. He was also on the show before.
Everyone that's anyone in Kent has been on this show,
let me tell you. Exactly. So they have an event that they're running tomorrow. It's a free workshop. It's taking place in Chatham. Sorry. It is, 27th, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. No, you're
taking
right.
Place in Chatham.
He's struggling with this, isn't he? He's struggling with a concept of a sequential calendar that the 27th follows the 26th, but is in fact the day before the 28th.
You can find all the details on Eventbrite, so certainly something worth attending, that one.
Absolutely. Slope Off Friday with host Andrew Knott from the Federation of Small Business and Jill Serkin. Never heard of her. At the Faversham Creek Hotel, Faversham, in Kent. And there's a creek set menu, and it's taking place on August the 5th, and it's taking place at 2 p.m. And they've given me a little plan of what goes on at this event, has Andrew and Jules. 2 p.m, arrive, network, mingle, bit of mingle. I wonder if you mince when you mingle. What do you think?
What is mincing?
Well, it's like mingling, only with more flamboyancy.
Okay.
I think. So a bit of mingling.
Never been a mincer myself, Paul.
No. I can't imagine you mincing, Martin. You don't look the mincing type to me. Can you mingle?
I can certainly do that.
Yeah. Can you? Yeah. Well, you can arrive at 2 p.m. and mingle and then network, or you could network and then mingle. 2:30, you can sit down.
And then, it's all very precise, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is most unlike Jules to come with something this well planned.
Yeah. Good.
And then they say you can also use Twitter to follow, and they've then given me the wrong email address, the wrong Twitter handle for Andrew Knott. Luckily, I know his Twitter handle, because the one they've given me is not right.
It's well organised then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is Jules, this. Getting all bossy and then making a mess of the detail. It's his Twitter handle is actually AKNOTT20, or Jules Serkin is Jules Serkin, or Faversham Hotel, and use the hashtag Slope Off Friday.
Is it down on the creek somewhere?
Yeah, it's at the Faversham Creek Hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice. Lovely, yeah. Part of Faversham.
Lovely, yeah. Mm. August the 5th. So do get along to the Slope Off Friday. Cool. You can do one more thing, and then we'll talk to our next guest.
I can't believe it's come round already, but...
I thought you were going to say, I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that. I'm not even going to go there. But on the 3rd of November, we're now talking about Get Social Kent already.
Wow.
And this year, it's happening in Longfield, at the Longfield Academy. So I think people are generally probably familiar with the event, Get Social. Was it at one of the colleges last year?
It was at Canterbury College
last
year.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I went to that one. It was fantastic.
It's at Longfield Academy this year.
Exactly.
Near, in between Mepham and Dartford.
I think I just said that, actually.
I know. Yeah. I was just reinforcing it.
Okay. It's at Longfield Academy this year, in between Mepham and Dartford.
Is it there? Because last year it was at Canterbury College, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
I think I went to that one.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyway, it's going to be a fantastic day. If you're new to social media, if you want to improve your social media skills, there are going to be some fantastic headline speakers there, keynote speakers. So get that date in the diary now, and that way you can't fail to attend. It's going to be 9 till 3.30, so an action-packed day of talking social media, Thursday, 3rd of November.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to speak to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, for the first time, Mr. Peter Andrews, no relation.
No, thank you, Paul. I don't think we're related. Well, I'm told not.
No. Well, if we are, we're related by a long distance, because I'm a Cockney and you're definitely not.
I'm definitely not. But my father was born and bred in Hythe.
In where?
In Hythe.
Yeah. In Hythe?
Yes.
Okay. So you kind of ended up back where your family started, almost.
Back with the roots,
apparently. So where did you grow up? Because you've got a bit of a northern accent, by the way.
Birmingham.
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 Birmingham, yeah, got no care in Birmingham.
Didn't we have somebody...
But I think I've spent less time in Birmingham than I have in Yorkshire.
Right, okay. I was going to say, because you don't have a very strong Birmingham accent, because I was kind of thinking Yorkshire.
I've worked in Sheffield and lived around Yorkshire for 20 to 30 years.
So. Right, okay. So it kind of rubbed off. You got a bit
that's
of a...
in between, keep coming backwards and forwards to Kent.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Must be something drawing me down.
Cool.
So must be the Business Bunker.
Yeah, that would be it. That would be it, yeah. Of course, I like this man. He's good, isn't he? He's really good.
I don't think you'd want to be related to Paul, by the way, Peter. So, yeah.
Really?
You did well there.
It's a fine name you have, though, a fine name. So, Peter, you're from Kent Financial Management Services.
Yes, sir.
And funnily enough, we actually live close. You're based in Tenterton, and I live in Tenterton,
yep.
So we have that in common, as well as the same surname, which is spooky, isn't it? So why don't you tell us a bit about your business and a bit about you? I mean, we found out already that you're originally from Birmingham by way of Sheffield and Hythe.
Yep.
But tell us a bit about your business.
Well, we're set up probably 18 months ago.
Right.
I just finished a project, having worked for a multinational who closed our finance office down in Sittingbourne and said, we don't think we're going to last here very long. Very true. They shut us down and said, will you go and set up the office and the financing on another site in Yeovil? Hmm. Not the best place in the world to get from A to B. My kids live in Sheffield. I'm in Yeovil. It takes a day to get there, probably.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's in a modern car, not a horse and cart, yeah.
That took 3 years. I came, contract finished. That was it. I came back to Kent, and I'm sitting there one day thinking, I can't do the pipe and slippers job. I'm just going to go out of my brain. Mm-hmm. So I started Kent Financial Management Services, right. Up. I had previously worked for myself doing a similar job 15 years before, and then I accepted an offer I couldn't refuse. But So I partially did it just to not get bored.
Right.
But then it started to grow, and I started to enjoy it even more.
Right.
And I think, I could do something with this.
Right.
And I think the bulk of my business from that time was startups. Right.
Can I just say, because I love that story, and I'll tell you what, I like the authenticity in it, because in my experience, what you've just described is what really happens to most people. But what you do is you get loads of entrepreneurs that they come on and they'll go, well, I spotted a gap in the market and I jumped in and I went for growth straight away and da-da-da-da-da. But I think what you just described is far more authentic to how most of us actually do something, is we come along, some circumstance forces us to think about doing something differently. Mm. We have an idea to do something that morphs into something else, and all of a sudden we get excited by it, and before you know it, you're immersed in it, and I love that. You're absolutely right. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to tell us about what you were specialising in.
It's mainly, obviously, small businesses with startups, but I've got a couple of medium-sized clients. But what I've actually based it on is to be different to the high street ones. If you want to ring me at 8 o'clock, I'll answer the phone, surprisingly enough.
In the morning or the evening?
Both. If you have a problem, they're self-employed, they're in the job, 8 till whenever they get home. The last thing they're going to worry about is their accounts.
Yeah.
So when they do think of it, when they do have a problem, they need access.
Absolutely.
And it's okay having the access, but they want to reply as well.
Yeah.
So I've tried to base it on that. It works 90% of the time. There's an odd percent where I don't manage it inside an hour, but generally we do.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed seeing some of the startups who did literally worse startups getting bigger and being successful. A couple of the beautiful ladies have been on this show.
Sure.
They're my clients. And it's great to see, and I enjoy it.
Mm.
I enjoy it even more because I was saying to Martin earlier that of late I've done a couple of projects for venture capital people. Mm. They're bought companies. They're a mess. They want sorted out. They want something to do. And then I realise I'm glad I'm not in this corporate world anymore, because it's complete shambles. So I enjoy going from A to B. And I just want to get out there more and help a few more startup people.
It's interesting, isn't it? Kent especially, because we have such a huge small business ecosystem, such a small business environment. There's 70-odd thousand small businesses in Kent. Very few big businesses, actually. That whole corporate environment is gradually imploding in on itself for all the kind of reasons we've discussed, for all kinds of things. And I'm kind of looking at Craig now as well, because Craig has a very similar message in his field that says, don't just go to some big, whacking great phone supermarket and expect to get, you know, a personal service and a good deal. And you're really saying the same thing, aren't you, Peter? That, you know.
And then I'll just say, there was a survey I read quite recently where they were asking businesses to comment on the service they got, the quality, the value for money. And the big top four accountants weren't even mentioned.
Yeah.
And it is now being pushed that accountants shouldn't be looking to give an accountancy service. They should be business advisors. And that's what the client is looking for more and more.
Right.
I mean, that's a great example of that. Is Peter did us a blog recently when they changed the law with regard to dividend payments, for example, for small business owners. Peter got straight on the case and did us a brilliant blog all about, you know, should I be taking a dividend or, you know, should I be taking salary? You know, what do small business owners need to be aware of? So it's just a good example there.
Thank you very much.
Some free advice.
Absolutely. So you're trying to provide a service, as you say, a lot of self-employed micro businesses, one man, one woman bands. They don't sit out to organise their financial affairs until they finish the day's work. And then normally it's very reluctantly involving a shoebox full of paper normally. You know, you're quite right. And so many things are online now, and you start to do stuff and you get halfway through it and you think, I don't even know that. I need to speak to Peter. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the shoe, fortunately, from an accounting point of view, the shoebox era will have to end with HMRC, digital age, because you just can't put it on a spreadsheet anymore. They're going to insist you have it on a proper accounting software and upload direct. Going to be fun.
Right, absolutely.
We were talking about quarterly reporting, you know, before we came live on air.
And, yes. Yeah.
You know, Peter was saying that the onus will be very much on the business owner to actually have an HMRC account and do all that themselves. And, you know, how many small business owners are ultimately going to be equipped with those kinds of skills? I mean, it's just...
Well, it's interesting. Just talking about such things in general, I read a report this morning about apprenticeships. And this is why I fundamentally had a go at you when you were talking about the government organising telecoms, because in my opinion, the government couldn't organise a proverbial in a brewery. And basically, I don't know if you're familiar, they've launched a new scheme with apprenticeships where there is a 5% levy, commonly known as a tax, on businesses with a payroll of £3 million or more.
A month, is that, or is that annually? I can't remember.
No, it's an annual payroll £3 million. So there's another tax of 5%. And all of the big business support organisations have written a massive report this morning saying, please don't do this. Please do not do this. It is a rubbishly thought out scheme. And do you know what's happened? Guess what's happened so far since they've talked about implementing it? What do you think has happened? The reason for implementing, I'm going to answer my own question because you're all looking blank at me because there's no reason why you should know. But the problem is that the government set out to do this because they want to employ 3 million new apprentices by 2020. Guess what? The number of apprentice places has plummeted. Why? Because nobody wants to go through the rigmarole of paying another tax. Do you remember the government used to tell us that the tax on tobacco and alcohol was to encourage you not to do it? So they then put a tax on apprentices and go, oh, you're not going to do that then. You know, there are so many things, coming back to Peter, there are now so many things that the government impose, so many rules, so many regulations, so many ways of doing your paperwork. We've been doing a thing for a couple of weeks on the new reporting structures and the new registers of interest in a company. It's as if some little man sits in an office and says, what can we do to annoy them next week?
Yeah, well, they seem to have a knack of finding something. I mean, how many small business owners do you know, especially if they are one-man bands, are going to have the nerve or the interest to actually file their accounts quarterly and make sure they're up to date? I've got one client who's an extremely, extremely bright person. They do their own payroll, do their own bookkeeping. But when they had to register for the payroll, you'd have thought, well, they'll go online and do it themselves. No, I don't want anything to do with HMRC. Will you do it, please?
Yeah.
Will you register it? So, and it does appear to most accountants they're trying to cut the agent out.
Yeah.
And unless they change the details that are there at the moment, it's going to be extremely difficult in the early days. And we've got 12 months left and we'll be there.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because, I mean, they have been a lot more visible recently. You're right, HMRC. When we had some webinars that they were running on our website recently, and I actually took part in a how to fill in your VAT return webinar last week online. So you're right, HMRC are much more, there's much more direct contact now with business owners than there ever has been.
Well, it's a kind of balance though, isn't it? Because Peter's right, it looks like they're trying to cut out the middleman. The trouble is HMRC aren't very good actually still at dealing with the end user. You know, anyone that's had to ring them. Payroll, I had a small business that I owned, not part of my major group of businesses. I had a very small business that I owned that had no employees. And for 2 years, I kept getting fines for not paying my employer's national insurance. Mm. And it didn't matter. I wrote, I rang, I emailed, I faxed, I sent pigeons. I took a banner on an aeroplane saying, I haven't got any employees. Mm. And I eventually spoke to someone, and I was so angry and rude, and they were threatening to report me. Mm. And I went, but do you not understand? And I've got no employees. Mm. And she eventually went, well, you shouldn't be paying in. I went, hallelujah, mm. at last. No, I shouldn't.
I think you're right. I think they see things in very black and white terms. Yeah. And, of course, yeah. you know, business doesn't work like that. There is, you know, there is bound to be a question you have in your business that doesn't actually fit that particular box mm. on your VAT return or yeah. wherever it might be.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they fall down because yeah. they don't have the infrastructure
yeah.
to then, you know, a phone line, for example, where you can actually speak to somebody
yeah.
And get guided through the process. Mm. And I think that's where it falls down for me.
And that's why, no matter what, and Peter made reference to it, he's got a client, very intelligent client, very clever, very astute at doing stuff. But at the end of the day, do we want to go through the hassle of trying to work out the every nuance and every little, you know, rinky-dink of dealing with HMRC or VAT returns or payroll returns or any other of the myriad of things you do, you know. You don't want to do it. You're trying to run a business, not a tax collecting service at the end of the day. And that's why people like Peter are important.
Absolutely. Mm. A funny story is I have a client who, at the end of the last tax year, underpaid their tax and national insurance by 10p. Now, most people would just forget it and get rid of it.
Yeah.
No, they are charging interest on a daily basis, mm. and it's now reached the mammoth total of £3.
Right.
Yeah.
And it costs them more to send the letters Absolutely. Telling you that you owe them £3. Yeah.
I've got a question for you then, Peter, because how much of this bureaucracy and process is driven by us as a sovereign state, you know, the UK, as opposed to coming down the pipe from Europe? And do you think that administrative burden will get lighter or heavier as time goes on?
Well, the way HMRC are going, I can't see it getting any lighter. But I don't think taxism is particularly driven by Europe at all. Mm. And there's not a lot of difference to, you know, other countries. I've worked in France. Mm. And if you look at their payslips, they actually list everything. You have your contribution, we call national insurance now. They list where every penny goes. So you've got to pay slip that's blooming big. Mm-hmm. The Americans worked in the States. The Americans are more bureaucratic than we are.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So 18 months you've been going, Peter.
Yeah.
What's the plan now? Where are you going? Bigger and better, more and more?
I hope so. Mm. It's looking that way. If I'm getting more and more interest and more and much demand on the project side, mm. I'm actually going to have to go out and,
right.
and recruit somebody else and
right.
and we'll expand it that way.
Okay, cool.
It's gone better than expected, so Brilliant. We'll just keep pushing it on.
Brilliant. We love startup businesses. Mm. We love new businesses coming into Kent. We're fully supportive of you. Keep on keeping on. And we love the fact that you're doing stuff that everybody needs, but you're doing it in a time, a place, and a way that's much more useful.
We hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's what I call the human aspects of doing business, and I love what you're doing. If people want to find out more about you and your service, Peter, how can they do that? What's your website?
Website is www.kent-fms.co.uk. Twitter is... I'll get it the wrong way around. Yeah. Is it Peter Kent FMS?
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
And Facebook is Facebook Kent FMS.
Cool.
And actually, we need to help Peter with a brief that he's working on as well.
Yeah.
A live brief at the moment. So he has a client based in Canterbury currently.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That he is desperately trying to help find office space for in and around the Ashford area. So if you own commercial property or you're a commercial property broker Peter would, I'm sure, value a discussion with you in terms
absolutely.
Of helping his client actually answer their brief at the moment.
So absolutely. And if you can't get hold of Peter, if you didn't jot down his details, you can always get hold of us at bunker@campusinsradio.co.uk. Drop me an email if you've got some premises in Ashford that you think might be of use to Peter, and we will pass the details on.
Yeah, thanks, folks.
Fantastic. Great. Peter, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker
Show.
Here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Been an absolute pleasure, sir, an absolute pleasure.
We forgot to mention, Peter is also, he's one of the good guys because he's a golfer.
No, we weren't going to talk about that. I don't do golf. I've had a tweet about our middle guest from Dinky Ones EYC, Sally Grinley.
Oh, Sally, yes.
Yeah. She says, well, first of all, she was cheeky because she was obviously listening to Tech Sultan, and she's just said, sensible, ? Really? ?
she knows me too well.
Yeah, that's not nice, is it? But then she said, we're working on an exciting new project with Craig at Tech Sultan for a childcare providers around management software, she's saying.
We are indeed.
Cool. So that's good stuff. And thank you for that, Sally, for raising that with us. What else we got here? Bank on Business Expo. Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, great show, loving the guests. Hope to see you at our event on the 14th of November at Biggin Hill Airport. And they've got hashtag local business. That's bank_expo. And that's at Biggin Hill. And then RAP Interiors, RAP Office on the Twitter. Vanilla Web, how has tech giant Google influenced office design? And they've put a rather large picture of a rather lovely Google office. So do check that out and find out about office fit out and office design. It's that time in the show, though, when we do... here we go. Hold on a second.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you the Federation of Small Business News Update. Women in Enterprise Task Force has named 15 fantastic small business owners from across the UK, and they've been named on the FSB's Women in Enterprise Task Force. The task force has been established to champion the needs of the UK's many women small business owners and build on the recommendations of the FSB's Women in Enterprise report, which was released earlier this year. The FSB Diversity Chair, Helen Welby, will lead the task force, which will meet for the first time on Wednesday, the 27th of July. That is mañana, tomorrow. Martin.
Yeah, I've got a... what I think is a really important initiative here, actually. It's entitled Looking to Hire, and it's the Department for Work and Pensions, and they've published a new employer information pack as part of their See Potential campaign. And it's all designed to basically signpost employers towards organisations that can help them hire more people from disadvantaged backgrounds. So I think that's a really important initiative in terms of, you know, how we integrate people from disadvantaged backgrounds into the community and into the workplace. So FSB are fully behind this campaign. You can have a look on the gov.uk website for more information about that. But I think that's a very important initiative.
Cool. Thank you for that. We've got... Destination Export. The FSB has published a new report exploring the way small businesses interact with global export market. The report revealed a huge potential to double the number of small business exporters. It showed the EU is the dominant export destination for small businesses, but there are huge signs that the new entrants to the export market are attracted to a more diverse range of destinations. That's a little bit obvious, really, isn't it? But anyway, the FSB launched its report at the prestigious Admiralty House at the heart of Whitehall with Lord Price as keynote speaker. And he's the Minister of State for International Trade, and he pledged to do all he could to help small businesses trade with the rest of the world.
Something we were talking about earlier in terms of broadband and poor quality of service. The Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee have published a report emphasising the need for better broadband services for small business customers. So I know you don't like the government, Paul.
I don't like what?
I know you don't like the government.
Not very much.
But at least they've come out and published a report saying we do need better business broadband for small businesses.
Oh, good. I could have told them that without a report.
So the FSB have welcomed that. And actually, some of these select committees do quite a good job, don't they?
They because do. The select committees do.
The Treasury Select Committee is one of those, you know, I get goosebumps when I watch that on TV. They had...
Really?
Well, they had some Philip Green on recently, didn't they? They were talking about the whole BHS collapse. And they've now come out subsequently and said that, you know, as far as we're concerned, you did a shoddy job. And so they're not often, you know, they don't pull their punches.
No, absolutely. It's a real grilling that they give people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the good work done by politicians, and I'll be generous to them for the moment, is done by the select committees. Mm. And the reason for that is they stop the Punch and Judy politics. They tend to, you know, it's a cross-party thing, a man by people from all different parties, and they tend to focus on the job in hand rather than to score political points, and that's where it starts to work better.
So there's a select committee behind the need for improved business broadband.
Good.
So watch this space. I'm sure
absolutely
something's going to happen.
I hope they're going to come around in a van and dig up the road and put a cable in. That's what we need. There's a new wage rates for construction workers. Contractors and unions have reached the Construction Industry Joint Council Agreement, a new two-year pay settlement for construction workers. The agreement follows protracted talks between the construction firms and Unite and UCAT, the Union of Constructed and Allied Trades and Technicians, and the General Municipal Boilermakers. The agreement will increase workers' wages by 2.5% from the 25th of July and by a further 2.75% from June 2017. Industry sick pay and subsistence allowances will also increase, at least in line with the basic pay rate increases, while workers will receive an extra day of holiday from the 1st of January 2017. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to the Construction Industry Training Board website, which is citb.co.uk/news, and find out about the new rates of pay in the construction industry.
Got another committee report here. The independent watchdog, the Regulatory Policy Committee, have reported back this week on the burden of regulation on business. So it has found that the national living wage has cost firms £821 million. And together with a plastic carrier bag charge and various other bits and pieces, they've done a report on the total effect of this regulation on business. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, you have to protect disadvantaged people. Mm. You know, 0 hours contracts. There was an interesting case study about Sports Direct recently.
Yep.
And workers, you know, being required to clock in, clock out on their own time. So they're calling this a cost in terms of an administrative burden that businesses have had to pay.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we have a duty to protect workers.
Absolutely.
As well,
it's always a balance, isn't it? It's always a balance between being able to do your business and being able to offer the right protection and control of things. And you can't win. At the end of the day, you can't ever get it perfectly right, because one of the things is there's lots of people that will always find a loophole to any rule you write anyway. And two, you can impose burdens that have an adverse effect on small businesses that can easily be absorbed by big businesses. So it's always a balance.
Unfortunately, all that ever gets reported in the media is the fat cats getting richer while everybody else is getting poorer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right, it's that divide that needs to be crossed.
Absolutely. Failings have been found by the FSB in the legal services market. Oh, I can agree with this. FSB welcomed a Competition and Markets Authority report that came out this week, which identified problems with competition in the legal services market for small businesses. The interim report backs the FSB's calls to improve transparency in the market. The Competition and Markets Authority will now look at ways to improve competition in legal services by increasing information on price and quality for consumers. The FSB will ensure it continues to be part of the review process going forward so that the legal services market works better for small businesses. Martin.
I've got some more numbers on the UK jobs figures. So unemployment is now below 5% for the first
4.9% and plummeting.
In a decade, apparently.
It's now the lowest in Europe.
What I'd like to know is where's that increase in employment coming from? Is it people starting new businesses?
Yeah.
Is it big businesses employing more people? Is it actually SMEs, taking up the slack there and employing more people? Where's that coming from?
I can tell you the answer to that because that's my field of operation, and I'm having a bit of a set-to with the new Secretary of State for the Department of Work and Pensions, who came out with one of his little statements that we're all going to lose our jobs when we exited the European Union, and he then ended up with a job in which he's now boasting about how many jobs he's created. And they haven't got a clue about either of those things because they don't know where the jobs are coming from. The jobs are being created by small and micro firms. There's a huge movement away from full-time wage slavery into self-employment. And there are now 5.6 million small businesses, or 5.6 million businesses in the UK. 5.4 million of them are small businesses. And most of those are solo businesses, self-employed people. And the rise in self-employment is what's generated a lot of jobs, because obviously people have moved out of paid employment, which have now been filled. And of course, those small self-employed businesses are growing. And as they grow, they take on staff. And that is where the entire growth is coming from. And it's not just in the UK, same in the US. I did a radio show before last Christmas in the US, and we had exactly the same conversation there. In the United States, in the last quarter of 2015, they created 3 million new jobs. And every single one of them was in a small business, what they call an SMB, small and medium business. Same in the US, same here. It's all in business startups.
Do you think this is in part a sort of a backlash from people against big corporations that just take advantage of them? Do you think people have just had a gutful of working for employers that don't care two hoots about them?
Come the glorious day, Martin.
Well, I know. But I mean,
if you'd have ever listened to the rest of my speech, you'd know the answer to that question, because that's exactly what I've been talking about. Absolutely.
So that is interesting, isn't it? So when are some of these unethical employers going to wake up to that fact?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that they're unethical, particularly. There are unethical ones, but I don't think it's that in general. Mm. I just think it's people have finally woken up to the fact that you don't need to be employed to earn a living. If you want a flexible work-life balance, working for somebody else isn't the best way to do it. If you want the rewards of working hard, working for yourself is a much more likely way of getting it. But you have to go through the pain of not having anything to start with. And so there's a much more entrepreneurial spirit, I think. There's a much more, I think people are much more free-willed nowadays, and not so conventional as they used to be.
They don't feel like they've got these kind of shackles on. Yeah.
One of the big things, because I'm old, and so I've kind of seen this over a number of years. When I left school and started work when I was 14, I worked at a paper mill, and the paper mill was steam powered, and the miners went on strike demanding a 43% pay rise. Yeah, if anybody remembers that. Thank you, comrades. And what they managed to do was to shut our paper mill and make us all redundant. So as a 15-year-old, I went home and told my dad I'd lost my job. And he beat the bejesus out of me because he just said, you're 15 years old and you've already lost the job. Yeah. No one will employ you if you're going to change jobs that often. Yeah. Whereas now, fast forward 40 years, you're going to have 17 different careers in a lifetime of work. So things have changed drastically.
It's a really interesting point, that, because my dad was a civil servant all his life. And he had one job. I mean, obviously, he had various jobs, but he worked for the civil service, for the Ministry of Defence all his life.
Yeah.
And then he retired, and, now he lives on a government pension.
Yeah.
But those days are gone. There is no such thing as a job for life anymore.
Exactly. And that's what people have realized. So now that that's disappeared, now that, lifetime career working for one, maybe two employers is not an option anymore. Everyone knows that. Yeah. So people are going, well, I might as well take the risk of running my own business, because there is no safety. That's the key thing. You know, it used to be said once upon a time that people that worked in the public sector didn't earn a lot of money, but they had a job for life. That's not true anymore.
No, exactly. And I think for me it comes down to this kind of whole important psychological thing about control and being in control of your own destiny.
Yeah.
And people are sick and tired of being at the wrong end of bad business decisions or bad business practice and actually having to carry the can for someone that earns £1 million a year and, you know, lives on a super yacht or whatever he might do.
Absolutely.
So I think that for me, and that comes back to this whole small is beautiful, you know, Smithy rallying.
Oh, you were listening. You were listening.
That you use. And I think it's never been more true. I think, you know, good on you. Good on, and the figures that we were talking about with regard to startup loans in Kent alone support that as well, don't they?
Absolutely. Read Steve Hilton's book, Being Human. Great read. Have a read. That'll tell you all about it. I've had a tweet from Mark Gaisford of Red Sprout, and he said, can we have a shout out, please? Red Sprout are Kent's specialist marketing talent finders. We do video interviews of talented candidates. So that you meet them before you actually meet them. And you can follow Mark on the Twitter at Mark Gaisford, that's Gaisford, or you can follow his company, which is Red Sprout.
I believe, aren't they supplying the pizza on Thursday?
They are indeed, because Red Sprout are one of the sponsors for Fruitworks Create, and in fact they are based at Fruitworks in Canterbury. So thank you for that. Caroline and Liz, the organic sisters at Riverfield _Kent, are still delivering their organic food around the county, so do check them out. Sorry, I'm having to rush through these now because we're fast approaching the end of the show. Care Simplified are listening in. Thank you for doing that. Sally's going mad at Dinky Ones EYC. Yeah, go on.
I must read one out.
Go.
A good friend of the Business Bunker, Stephen Connor at Fairnet. Stephen, I hope you're listening. So Stephen's job, basically, his raison d'etre, is all about saving businesses money on their gas and electricity. And they have a special offer on at the moment where they reckon they can save you probably up to 60% on your business electricity bill, but certainly a minimum of 40%. So that's Fairnet Commercial. You can find them on the Supply My Business website.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Click Business. Click with a K, K-L-I-C-K, _business. And they say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Hi, Paul. There's a new tender come out from Kent County Council for tree surgery work. If anybody would like to bid for it, would you like to contact us on the Twitter at Click_business? So do check that out.
Fantastic.
There's a charity quiz night at Tunbridge Old Fire Station on the 5th of August at 7 o'clock. And there's a pizza worth £8 included in the price. And it's £14 to enter. And all of the proceeds are going to the fabulous folks at the Bridge Trust, which is a charity for homeless people. I'm having to rush through this because we're right at the end of the show. Coming up now, after us on channelradio.co.uk, at 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show. And Natalie's show is followed immediately at 5 o'clock by the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his stripy socks. And then at 7 o'clock, we have 18 tracks of unsigned up-and-coming music. So, at 7 o'clock, 7 till 9, we have the New Potato Show with Mr. Jamie Andrews, 18 tracks of new, up-and-coming, unsigned music. And, of course, as always, on channelradio.co.uk, at 9 o'clock, we have I Was a Little Kitchener's Valet, a comedy and music show featuring the hysterically funny year of 1967. I don't know why 1967 was a particularly funny year, but apparently it was, and there is lots of comedic humour to be gained from the fact that it's 1967. And you can hear I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet at 9 o'clock. I'm talking complete rubbish now, aren't I? 9 o'clock. And of course we round off the evening as we always do with, oh, blimey.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down. triple drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So we finish off the evening on Channel Radio with the wonderful Boy George with his Club Culture show. So do stay tuned for all of those shows. I've got a couple of more emails that I want to leave you with just before we go off air. There's the next Digital in Kent event, which is being held at the Great Danes Hotel Maidstone. That's at Hollingbourne on Junction 8, I think. Junction 8 of the M20. There's a great lineup of speakers. Digital in Kent was born in 2012 when a group of leading local agencies and consultants came together to pool their experience and create a learning event for Kent businesses. We felt that many were struggling to get to grips with social media, search engine optimization and pay-per-click advertising, and for the first time, or were finding it hard to keep up with the latest developments. So then Digital in Kent has showcased a multitude of speakers, including leading regional practitioners and carefully selected experts from across the UK. The initiative has also expanded by holding regular monthly meetups, allowing those using digital marketing to meet, share and share their experiences and to learn from others. And the next event of Digital in Kent, which I'm chairing, is on the 20th of October at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. If you want to find out more about it, there's a link on the Kent Business Radio website under Business Events tab for Digital in Kent. So do check that out and do come along to the event because it's a fabulous event. On Friday, the 30th of September, and Saturday, the 1st of October, is the Cranbrook Literary Festival. The Cranbrook Literary Festival. You're looking at me in stunned silence, Martin.
No, I'm captivated.
Oh, you're captivated. That's a captivated look, not a stunned look. And do you know, it's featuring Julian Clary, Sarah Raven, Vanessa Nicholson, Luke Wright, John Rice, Brian Moses, Lou Kinsler, Dave McKean, Giles Brandreth, Bennett Brandreth, Tom Palmer, and many more. So do get along to the Cranbrook Literature Festival Friday the 30th of September and Saturday the 1st of October.
Is that the phone again ringing in the background?
No, it's a drill.
Oh, is it?
It's a drill. And I'm trying to rush through this before they start drilling again. Sorry, we've got some people next door that have been drilling away. I also want to tell you about a new social group that's started in Kent. It's a social meetup group called Skizzle, S-K-I-S-S-L-E. On the Twitter, it's Skizzle_UK. And Skizzle, that's not easy to say that, is it? Especially when I've got Martin's teeth in.
Not yeah? Skittles.
No, Skizzle, S-K-I-S-S-L-E.
It's not difficult to say at all.
Yeah, Skizzle is the newest, modern and fast-growing social club to meet people and make friends. And basically, they've got dozens and dozens of events and activities and all kinds of things you can get into, all for the princely sum of £10 a month, which covers all the costs of all the events. And I'm just going to go through some of the events they've got. Dinners, parties, live music, walks, pub crawls, barbecues, quiz nights, rock and roll, bingo, all kinds of things. Do check it out. But hey, we're at the end of another show. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. A huge thanks to our guest, Mr. Barry Brophy from University College Dublin, Mr. Craig Higgins from TechSultant, and Mr. Peter Andrews from Kent Financial Management Services. Thank you so much. And a huge, huge thank you to this week's co-host, Mr. Martin White of Supply My Business. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.